I'm going to read, I got to give you a title, but I'm going to read a verse first, then I'll give you the title. It's a familiar verse from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, and verse number 10. Waiting on Brother Sean up there. Huh? It says, it's a familiar verse. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The title tonight that I'm just going to talk and we're going to go through some things is Be Not Dismayed. Be not dismayed. It's interesting that it starts, this verse starts out with fear, then it goes to be not dismayed. Dismayed defines a feeling of intense disappointment, shock, distress, often caused by unexpected, unpleasant situations or news. You may be seated. Be not dismayed. Then we're going to turn over, and I'm going to talk to you mainly from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to also use Matthew chapter 14. Because these stories actually go hand in hand. I'm going to pick it up in Matthew chapter 8 at verse 23. If you got your Bibles, you can remain seated. But I'm going to pick it up first at verse 22 because it's an interesting verse. But Jesus said unto him, this is after another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him in verse 20, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. And when he had entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him and saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. Be not dismayed. The first part of this story in chapter 8 is kind of interesting. One of his disciples said to him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. See, in our lifetime, you have to understand the dead we cannot help. The Bible says, where a tree falleth, there shall it lay. So he says, you know what? I understand how you feel, but you can't help him. We must always be moving forward. But I want to pick it up in verse 23 now. And it says, and when he was entered into the ship, so he and his disciples are now deciding, getting in a ship. They're going to cross the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. Let me give you some details so you can understand this. They're going to cross the sea. In Jesus' time in the first century, the sea was 7 to 8 miles across. It was 12 to 13 miles long, surrounded by hills known to have sudden storms. Think about that. It's 7 to 8 miles. They don't have a motor on the boat. They have to manually get it across. What we don't know is whether that boat had a sail or whether they paddled. We don't know that much of a story. But what we do know about the boat wasn't that big. When I looked it up, they said back in Jesus' time, he didn't have a yacht. It was a fishing boat, 47 feet long and about 7.5 feet wide. Now, think about this when he tells them to get in the boat. Picture 13 men in a boat that's 47 feet long. That's not a big boat. It's not that wide. But it's interesting here. I need you to grasp that he got in the boat first. So it's always good to have Jesus in the boat with you. But it said when he entered, he got into the boat. Then his disciples did what? They followed. So he is leading them. He gets in the boat, and guess what happens? And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Sometimes God leads us down a road that initially begins with the sun shining. But along the way, there are some storms come along. I don't know if you've ever gotten on a trip somewhere and got in the car and started driving, and all of a sudden the clouds start to come. The rain starts to fall. When it gets heavy like that, our first thought was, I should have stayed home. I'm telling you, you've never maybe not been in that. But your first step is, I should have stayed home. But sometime you got in your life, you got to follow where Jesus leads you. I'm telling you this tonight, if he's leading you, everything will be all right. He's what he's saying, Isaiah 41, fear not. Fear not. But we get fearful on the inside. But you know something tonight? Jesus never panics. He never panics. We panic. I don't know why we panic, but there's something when we're not totally in control, we get fearful and panic sets in. But now we find in the story, the storm comes up. And it says, not just a storm, a great tempest. Now, if you can go back in your life to last Friday, if you lived around here, when it really started raining and the winds were blowing, I can tell you, most of us were not comfortable. And we weren't even in a boat. I was in the closet. I don't know where you were. I don't have a basement, but I was in the closet. I got my weather radio. I got my sleeping bag. I got my blanket. I got some water to drink. And I'm in there. I'm telling you, and you know what? I heard the sirens. And guess what? They may have stopped about 1 o'clock in the morning, but I didn't come out till the morning. I'm just telling you, I was going to be sure nothing else was coming. You can go out there like some people go out there and want to see what's going to happen. You never see those videos, some people go out there with that phone, the tornado's coming, and they out there filming? And my first thought is, they got a death wish. Or the second thought is, maybe they just want to fly. But I know, I have no wings. Okay? The only thing I'm thinking about flying is when the rapture comes. But I'm just telling you, all of a sudden it says, there arose a great tempest in the sea. This was more than just a little rain or a little storm. And so much that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Listen, Jesus, you told me to get in this boat. I'm in the boat with you. The storm comes, and you're sleeping. Listen. Have you ever done something God tell you to do and the storm starts to come and your first question is, where is God? Maybe you've never done that, but I sure have. Where is he in the midst of this storm that I find myself in? Because you know why? I'm like most people. I'm looking at the storm. So what happens? Jesus is asleep in the boat. That's what the lesson tells us. And it's the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Now, what I tried to figure out is, the storm is there, the wind's blowing, the rain's falling, and Jesus is asleep. You tell me he's panicking? He's not in a panic. He's asleep. And interesting enough in the story, the waves and the wind and the rain didn't wake him up. And his disciples came to him and spoke, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Think about what they're saying. They didn't say about save us and save yourself. They said what? Save us. We're not really worried about it. You can take care of yourself. But save us, lest we perish. Now, you're in a walk with God, and you're worrying about perish. Let me tell you something. When you're walking with God, you don't have to worry about perishing. You don't have to worry about, well, I'm going to perish in this storm. If Jesus told you to get in the storm and he's leading you through the storm, do you think he will not bring you through to the other side? Sometime in the storm, we get concerned. But I tell people in life, you're going to have a storm. Now, you can't control when the storm's going to come. I explain it like raining. The reason I say that is, you can't just know when it's going to rain. You see the clouds, but you don't know when the rain's really going to come. You don't know how hard it's going to rain. You don't know how long it's going to rain. But I tell people, you do know one thing. The rainbow tells me it is not going to rain forever. If I can just hold out when it's raining in my life, I'm going to get through the rain. Because I know the God that controls the sun, the wind, and the rain. And he told me a long time ago, I belong to him. He said, lo, I am with thee always, even until the end of time. As they say in modern terms, you can take that to the bank. But I can tell you today, you can take that all the way to heaven. Because God is not going to change. He's not going to change. Number two, God is not going to fail. I'm telling you today, I don't care what's going on, the God that we serve is not going to fail you. We're going, well, what's going to happen if he doesn't come through? If he didn't come through, he wouldn't be God. You ever pause and think about that? He's God. Because you can stand on his word. You can stand on his word. Because he's never going to fail you. He's not going to leave you. We worried about when we're there. He in the boat. They worried about perishing. He taking a nap. And what does he say to them on them? Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. He looks at that and says, they wake him up. Now, he doesn't just walk out there and stop him. He asks him a question. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Because sometimes doubt creeps in. I don't know if you've ever been there where you're worried about whether or not God's really going to come through. See, we have to understand. I tell people all the time, faith is not faith until it's tested. Let me explain something to you. We always sometimes, I'm going to say always, let me go back. We sometimes tell people we would handle a situation differently. But we really don't know how we would handle it until it comes to knocking on our door. I'm just talking to you. We got an idea because we're not the one in the middle of the storm. But we sometimes tell somebody else how to live through the storm. And we don't know how to handle our own storms. But we tell them, well, I would do it this way. You know what? We can always give advice to the man in the fight. But guess what? We're not the one getting punched. You ever stop and think about that? We can tell them what we would do. I would duck and I'd hit him with this, I'd hit him with that. Until you get hit one time. Then all of a sudden, you're like, whoa. Whoa. So here they are. He looks up and says, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Faith is not faith until it's tested. But let me explain something to you about faith. Faith is like building a wall. It's built only one brick at a time. Think about that. You don't build all faith all at one time.
You build it one brick at a time. Faith is never finished. If faith was totally finished and the wall was finished, we would never have any fear in our life. We would never be dismayed. Think about that. You wouldn't be. We have it because the wall's not finished. The wall's not finished. So now he says, oh, ye a little faith. What is he doing? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and that was great calm. Think about that. He gets up. Think. So far, the disciples only seen him do stuff on land. This is the first time they've really seen him do something in a boat. Be very careful. He fed the 5,000. He helped the blind see, the lame walk. He raised the dead. But he didn't, nobody seen him do anything on the water. Now he's in the boat. He comes out. He wakes up. He gets up. He rebukes the wind and the rain. And guess what happens? The Bible says, a great calm. A great calm comes upon it. He didn't necessarily go after them after it. And it said, but the men marvel, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey? They're looking around. Now, they've been walking with Jesus, but things change. Something changes. And they want to know, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey? They begin to realize he is something more than just us. He is above us. Nature answers to him. Why? The reason nature answers to him, because he created it. See, Jesus is not the second person in the Godhead. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. The Bible reminds us in 1 Timothy. But what does it say? For God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, pleased unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That doesn't fit but one person. I don't care what them folks out there want to tell you. There's three of them folks sitting on the throne, sitting side by side by side. There ain't no three people. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. Jesus said what? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For I and the Father are one. So now, he begins to explain to them. So now the first time that they're in the boat, Jesus gets in the boat with them. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Watch what happens next. Now things get interesting in chapter 14. Watch this. So the first time they're in the boat, Jesus gets in the boat first. I'm going to pick it up here. Once again, I'll pick it up at verse 20. After Jesus feeds the 5,000. Verse 20, I'm going to start with verse 20. Then they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were 5,000 men besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. What do you see interesting about that verse? There's something in that verse 22 that I want you to understand. And the word is, and I'll go back, and Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Constrained them. Constrained. Let me define that word for you, because I need you to understand what it means. To compel, to urge, or strongly implore someone to act. Why do you think that word's there? And remember, he's telling, he's trying his disciples to get into the ship. But guess what? He didn't get in first. He's constraining them. He's trying to influence them to get in the boat. And what's they thinking? The last time I got in the boat, guess what? That wind came. That rain came. That boat but filling up with water. And Jesus was in the boat. Now you telling me to get in the boat and you not getting in the boat with me. You really got to constrain me. You probably got to push me in the boat. Because I'm not really, Jesus, you're not going with me in this boat. I'm not really getting in this boat. Because otherwise, the last time, I really would have had some problems. Because let me explain to you. I told you that the Sea of Galilee was 12 to 13 miles across. So now you're telling me to get in the boat the last time. I'm thinking to myself, and I got to be quiet. That's why I tell people I don't go on no cruise. You can get in a cruise boat and go cruising all you want to. But I ain't getting in that water going cruising. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. I read the story on Titanic, and I know what happened. Okay, I know that for a fact. Okay. Now, most of y'all young folks, y'all ain't gonna know this. Back in the 70s, there was a movie called The Poseidon Adventure. Y'all, I don't know if y'all ever saw that. Where they out celebrating New Year's and the boat turns upside down. And they got to figure out how to get out of the boat. Let me explain something to you. I know one thing about a boat. You put enough water in it, it's going to sink. Okay. It's just me. Is the boat going to sink? Now, you tell me to get in the boat. My ultimate safety blanket is not in the boat with me. And I know some other things. I can't drink all that water. I tell people, I can't walk on that water. But you want me to get in this boat and go out where I cannot see the shore. Okay? I can't see land. And they be talking about how the boat be rocking and stuff like that. I tell people, yeah, if I ever went on a cruise, I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to be the guy with a backpack. You know why I got a backpack? I'm going to have me a life raft in there. I'm going to have me a little rubber life raft. I'm going to walk around with it the whole time. No, do you know when they go on a cruise boat, they don't have enough boats for you? They got to have enough life jackets, but you don't have enough boats. I'm like, I got on a boat. You got to have enough boats for everybody. But that's not the rules. So now Jesus constrains his disciples. Basically, he looked at them and said, get in the boat. He told me, get in the boat. I'm talking to you. He tells me, get in the boat. And the Bible says, straight what Jesus constrained is, get in the boat and to go before him unto the other side. Why he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Jesus, you're not worried about me. You've gone up into a mountain to pray. You told me to get in the boat and go to the other side. But he was there alone. Another side story is we don't like to be alone. In our society. You ever think about that? People don't like to be alone. They got music playing. They got to get on the phone. They got to have something going. But you understand, your greatest communication with God is when you're alone. So Jesus goes up to the mountain alone. And what does the Bible say? He goes up there after he sends away. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. What's the first thought going through their mind? I know we shouldn't have got in this boat. That guy told us to get in this boat. He's not with us. Now think about it. The boat is tossed in the middle. The waves are coming, and the wind is contrary. Let me explain something to you. This story is interesting. It's 7 or 8 miles across the Sea of Galilee. The story goes, when I looked it up, they were about 3 to 4 miles out there. So now you halfway out there. What do you do? Do you t-
turn around and go back? Or do you still try to get to the other side? See, a lot of times in our life, in stories come along, when all of a sudden trials and tribulations come in our lives, the first thought we start going through our minds sometimes is, I should go back over here. The devil tells you a story and says, listen, you know, your life was better when you were in the world. If you weren't living for this Jesus, all these things wouldn't be happening to you. And sometime in the back of your mind, you have to get past that point and say, I don't care what you tell me. I'd rather continue to walk where Jesus is taking me than to go back where I was. You know, the devil deceives you and plays that trick on you. Let me explain it to you. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, what could they, every time something happened, what did they say? We want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back. Think about that. You want to go back to Egypt where you are a slave. They beat you. They whipping you. You want to go back. But see, the devil deceives you because he only wants you to remember the good things that happened. He doesn't want you to remember the misery you were going through. I'm just trying to tell you, the children of Israel wanted to go back. And I tell people they missed the point. I tell somebody, I say, I'd rather die a free man in the wilderness than be a slave in Egypt. I'd rather die a free man living for Jesus than to be a slave to the devil. No, I'm not going back. Let the wind blow. Let the rain fall. Let the boat fill with water. But I can tell you, I got a Savior. I got a Savior. I'm not going back. So the Bible tells us that the boat begins to fill once again. But guess what happened? It was tossed to and from. And it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Let me explain another point to you now. I need you to get this point. Now, go back to verse 23. Give me 23. What does it say in verse 23? So we know he sent the multitude away. He put, told them to get in the boat. It was evening. E-V-E-N-I-N-G. Evening. But guess what? The boat is tossed. And give me verse 25. He doesn't show up till the fourth watch of the night. Fourth watch. Somewhere, but we don't know exactly, but it's between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. But we've been in this boat since yesterday afternoon. We've been in the middle of this storm, you up on the hillside praying, and you don't come until the fourth watch. The fourth watch of the night. I'm going to tell you something right now. When you're going through a storm, Jesus is an on-time God, but it's on his timing. Not on my timing, not on your timing, it's on his timing. So the Bible tells us he comes walking on the water. My first thought when he's coming walking on the water, the Bible tells us they get what happens. It says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. They never seen anybody walk on the water. Okay, I'm just being honest. You're afraid. We in the wind, the rain, the boat's filling with water, and then there's something coming walking on the water. We ain't seen nobody walk on the water. My first thought, they thought it was a spirit. They thought it was something evil coming. I would be too, thinking, man, something's coming. My first thought would have been, that's a death angel coming to get me. That may not have been your thought. That would have been my thought. But guess what? Jesus is coming. He's walking on the water. I've never seen nobody walk on the water. I'm thinking, I know about angels. Angels coming to get him. And guess what? They were troubled. And what did they say? It's a spirit. They didn't say it was Jesus. Remember I told you, I would think it's a deaf angel? What did the Bible say? They said it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Now let me explain the next point to you here. So Jesus come and walk into him on the water. It's somewhere between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. Guess what? At that time of night, it's dark outside. It's dark between those hours. Why is that important to them and why it's important to you? I'm going to explain to you why. Jesus come and walked to them on the water, which tells me he knew exactly where they were. Why is that important? When you're going through the darkest times in your life, I need you to know that Jesus knows right where you are. You may not have to know what to do next, but he knows in the darkest hour, he knows where you are in the midnight hour when you cry yourself to sleep and you don't know what to do. He comes walking. He comes walking. He knew where they were. And I tell you, he couldn't see them because it's dark and they're 3 to 4 miles out there. But he knew where they were. He walks. He walks into your life when everything is falling apart. He shows up. Coming. And the fourth watch. And when the disciples saw them walking, they thought it was a spirit. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Let me tell you, they may not have recognized him out there on the water, but they recognized that voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep, not somebody else's sheep, but my sheep know my voice. What does he tell them? Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Let me tell you something. When he speaks to you like that, what happened? They went back to the first time and started realizing he calmed the sea. He calmed the waves the first time. If he did it for me one time in my life, he can do it again. I'm telling you tonight, he can do it again. If he brought you through the storm before, he'll bring you through the storms again. He'll never fail you. He'll never forsake you. He said, lo, I am with thee always, even until the end of time. So now he tells them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Bid me come unto thee on the water. Peter looked around. Peter said, you know what? I know that voice, but I just need a little bit more reassurance. He said, listen, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. Come. And what did Peter do? And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. What Peter said was, I'm not waiting for you to get here. I'm going to meet you part way. Let me tell you something. When Jesus is coming to do something for you, sometimes you just got to meet him hard way. The Bible says you got to remind yourself, I just got to take the first step. The first step is always believing that he can and he will do what he said he would do. That's the first step to getting out of the boat, to getting out of the situation, is admitting that I know my God can do exceedingly abundant. And if Peter came down, got out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Let me tell you something. Jesus is your ultimate security blanket. You're sitting there, but you don't understand something. He is your security blanket. There is nothing too hard for my God. There's nothing too hard for your God. And what happened? So Peter, I'm going to get Peter gets out there and he says, when he looked, what did he do? He is to go to Jesus. And what did he do? He saw the winds bolstering. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried saying, Lord, save me. Peter, you actually get out the boat. So you got a boat. You're walking on the water. You're going towards Jesus. But guess what it said? Listen to what it said. He saw, what did he see? This is something interesting. What did the Bible say he saw? The wind. Tell me, anybody here ever see the wind? Feel the wind, but we can't see the wind. But the Bible tells us he saw, he didn't understand what he was really seeing. He saw the wind. His eyes were on Jesus, but he was still able to look around, and he saw the wind bolstering. And he was afraid. He was afraid. One of the things he did, the Bible says, he began to sink. Anytime you take your eyes off Jesus, you'll start to sink. Listen, I'm gonna talk to you right now. Most times I've gotten in trouble in my life, I start looking around. Maybe you've never been there. I'm a human being. I got flesh just like everybody else. I start looking around. I take my eyes off of him. Guess what happened? I start to sink. I start to sink. I don't know about you. I got to hurry. I start to sink. And you know what happens? The Bible tells us we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sometimes when I take my eyes off, I do some dumb things. I do some dumb things. Basically, we sin because we take our eyes off. Because we're in this war with the flesh. We're in war with the enemy, the devil. What did he do? The Bible says he began to sink. But guess what? He said three words. It wasn't a long prayer. Do you understand that? It wasn't a long prayer. He said, Lord, save me. See, when you have a relationship with God, you don't have to pray these long, long prayers. He said three words. Lord, save me. Save me. Save me. And guess what happened? Jesus didn't say, I'm not going to do it because you took your eyes off me. I'm not going to save you. Oh, you got to understand. Understand. So he began to sink. But Jesus, immediately, verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. He didn't wait for Peter's head to get underneath the water. Think of that. He didn't wait and say, well, Peter, I'm going to wait for Peter's head to get underneath the water. Let him get a little water in his lungs. He'll understand. He didn't punish him. He said immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Do you really understand what he did in that verse? He saved Peter first. Then he asked Peter the question. What we want to do when something happened like that, well, how did you get in trouble? How did you do that? Why did you do that? Instead of, we don't want to fix the problem first. We want to give them a lecture first. Y'all in here don't have no kids? Y'all don't understand this. But you got to give them a lecture. I tell people, I got to get my money's worth. I got to get my money's worth in here. They know you as a parent. They know you're gonna fix it, but you got to get your money's worth. But Jesus fixes it. Then he asks him, "Thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" Doubt is the opposite of faith. You know, if you doubt that you're gonna make it, you're not gonna make it. I'm coming to a close, but let me tell you something. Don't have doubt when you're walking with God.
Let me. I'm gonna tell you now. I'm gonna shift gears. In medicine, what we do know, if a patient, you're getting ready to operate on a patient tell you they're not gonna make it. Don't operate on them. I'm telling you today, do not. We always talk about it. Don't take them down and operate on them. Their doubt that they're gonna make it is already telling you they've already given up that they're not gonna make it. Okay? I'm just telling you. Well, I don't think I'm gonna make it through this surgery. Don't do it. Because in their mind, if you have doubt and say, I don't think I can make it to heaven, you ain't gonna make it to heaven. I hate to tell you. Well, I don't think I'm gonna make it. If you go in with that attitude, you're not gonna make it. For young people, if you walk in their classroom, you don't think you're gonna pass this test, guess what's gonna happen? You're not gonna pass it. But Jesus said, he that cometh to him must do what? Believe that he is. And that he is a reward of those who what? Diligently seek him. I'm coming to a close tonight because I'm trying to tell somebody something. In the middle of the storm, don't give up. Don't give up. I don't care whether the boat begins to fill with water, the wind blows. You have a Savior. Can we all stand? I'm closing. Because I want you to understand. And immediately Jesus stepped on. Now, verse 32 as I close. Give me verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Explain that one, if you can explain it in human terms. The wind ceased. Yeah, and I'm going to end this on verse 33. And then they were in the ship, came and worshiped him, saying, oh, of a truth, thou art the Son. They came and worshiped him. Came. Guess what? They got in the ship. It wasn't about the ship. It was about the master. It was about the master. See, the winds and the waves all understood. The King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but I can tell you tonight, there is a God that you serve, the God that you place your life in his hands. And he said, no man will pluck you out of my hand. No man. If you don't know him tonight, tonight's a chance to get to know him. Because I don't want anybody to walk out of here tonight and not know him. Because I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I don't know what tonight's going to bring. But I do know you, somebody who will guide you all the way home. Thou art the Son of God. Listen to me. Jesus loves you. Anytime you think Jesus doesn't love you, take a moment and look at the cross. Take a moment and look at the cross. See, people have that, I tell people, have that stick in the car, Jesus loves me. But the real thing is, Jesus died for me. What the Bible says, scarcely for a righteous man. I'm not righteous. Now, I have imputed righteousness because he took my sins and nailed them to the cross. I'm not righteous. See, when you get to judgment day, they're not going to see Stanley Wiggins. They're going to see Jesus. 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 Tonight as we close. Oh, I wish I could get somebody to understand. Because in life, either you're going into the storm, you're in the storm, or you're just coming out of the storm. And guess what? When you come out of the storm, the next storm is already waiting. Think about that. The next storm is going to come. But you have to increase your faith one brick at a time. And the way you plant that brick is you come through this storm. Guess what? That brick gets laid of faith. I come through another storm, I lay another brick get laid. Another brick get laid. And finally, you know what? You wake up one day, you got a solid foundation. Oh, you got a solid foundation there. Oh, I'm going to stop right there because I'm already over. But I want somebody to understand that the God we serve, I don't care what the situation looks like, whether he goes before you or he waits to see how you handle it, but he will come in his own time. Shall we pray? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, oh, great God of heaven, the God that I serve that is able to keep me, to protect me, to guide me, to lead me all the way home. As we leave this sanctuary tonight, let somebody know that you are with them, oh, Heavenly Father. Give them reassurance, Father. We cast away every doubt in the mind that you cannot, because we know you are who you say you are, oh, Heavenly Father. Now, Lord, as we go tonight, go with us and keep us and guide us until we come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Thank you.